You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. You are my daughter, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. I wonder if anybody's ever said those words to you. I'm seeing some heads that are shaking no. Wonder if there's anyone who's ever called you beloved or made you feel beloved. As I was looking at today's gospel lesson of Jesus' baptism and God saying, "You are my beloved, my son, with whom I am well pleased," I thought about my grandmother, Dolores. I've talked about her a few times. She's the one who, when I was visiting and when I was a kid and a young entrepreneur and had a little lemonade stand in the front of her driveway, I sold all the food she had gone out and bought for me and my family to people. I remember I sold like a tomato for 5 cents. There was a guy on a bicycle who came back for seconds. I sold the bread. I sold the cereal. I basically sold everything. But she was very generous when she learned that I had done that. But when I think about her, I picture food. She was an amazing cook. My mom was always on a diet, so the food at our house didn't ever taste very good. We were eating fat-free and low-fat food before that was a fad. And Grandma Dolores cooked with butter. Oh my gosh, I'd never tasted food cooked with butter before. And she would make potato pancakes, and she would make fried matzahs. My grandfather was Jewish. She would let me buy Captain Crunch cereal and the Count Chocula cereal at the store, and she had donuts, and I just thought I had died and gone to heaven. And in addition to food, I also have this image of her wrapping me in this very plush towel after I got out of the bathtub and singing to me. And I just, you know, on the other side of my family, you had to win awards and get accolades to get noticed or to get any kind of recognition. But with Dolores, I didn't have to do anything to win her love. God's love for the Israelites, Jesus, and us are evident in today's readings, which are so beautiful and powerful. In the first reading from Isaiah that Bob did, God speaks to his people in exile in Babylon, telling them, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God promises to be with God's people when they walk through fire and when they pass through the waters. I gave this passage to Bill Gangle when he was dying of cancer. I will be with you, whatever you face, whatever you walk through in this life. But I also like that in our gospel, God doesn't just say to Jesus, "You're my son, the beloved." He also says, "With you, I am well pleased." Those are wonderful words to our ears. I don't think many of us know deep down that we're God's beloved. We may say we know that God loves us, but how many times have we experienced great love without boundaries or conditions? I love you if, I love you when. God's love and grace are things that are hard to understand and accept if we've never or rarely experienced them in this life. Think about what our lives would look like if we truly knew that we and all other people are God's beloved. Think about what our lives would look like if we knew that God will be with us whatever we go through in this life. I think Jesus was able to do what he did during his earthly ministry because of the knowledge that he and others were beloved by God, and because of his vital and regular connection to God in prayer. Jesus doesn't undertake his public ministry of healing and teaching with his own power and abilities. He would have burned out quickly. His strength and his courage come from God. The baptism of Jesus by John in the Jordan appears in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke's version has some important differences. In it, Jesus' baptism takes place amidst the baptism of others. Think for a moment about all the religious art that you've seen in your life portraying Jesus' baptism. And there we go, in the third window down, we have John the Baptist baptizing Jesus, but there he stands alone. It's like a singular event. But in Luke, he is baptized with the others. This is a powerful image to think about. What does it mean that Jesus was baptized with all the other people who had come out to the Jordan to seek a new relationship with God? Secondly, in Luke's account, Jesus is praying as the Holy Spirit descends on him as in bodily form like a dove. In Luke, Jesus is very prayerful. He prays at all the important moments and pivotal points in that gospel, as well as other moments. In Luke, Jesus' identity and ministry come from his connection to God in prayer. As we begin our Democratic Republic of Congo liturgy today, and I'm so grateful to Christine and Louise Howard and Cindy Howard for that wonderful presentation and for this liturgy and the feast that we'll have after this service. As I think about the DRC, I think about their long and difficult history, the challenges this country faces, and the incredible giftedness of its people. I also think about the fact that many of the young people who have risen up in nonviolent protest movements at the cost or at the risk of their lives, movements like Lutte pour le Changement or LUCHA, they have risen up to fight for their rights and freedoms and the rights and freedoms of their people. And many of them are Christian. 80% of this country is Christian. 40% of this country is Catholic. The Catholic Church has a very strong moral voice in this country. They're even speaking out about the recent elections, saying this doesn't match our polling results. And they monitored the polling during the election. I think about the fact that the Catholic Church is speaking out against the anointed or the candidate who supposedly won, Felix Tshisekedi. And I think about all the men and women in the DRC who have risked their lives to stand up to the corrupt government of Joseph Kabila and made it clear that the lack of clean water and electricity, the poverty and unemployment in a country with incredible natural resources is unacceptable. I imagine that the nonviolent protesters' faith in God has led them to picture a different future for themselves and their country. I pray that they know that they are God's beloved. May God sustain them in their fight, and may God help us appreciate and preserve the democratic institutions in the U.S. for which the Congolese people are putting their lives on the line. There are three takeaways for me in today's gospel. In addition to just listening to God's words, you are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. And they are these, as I attempt to live as Jesus's follower. First of all, how important it is to hear God's affirmation as the source of my calling and purpose in life. For me to really hear and take in those words, you are the beloved, as I'm asking God, what have you called me to do in this life with the gifts you have given me, in the context you have put me in? Second, the importance, like Jesus, of identifying with all the people. Thirdly, the importance of depending upon God in prayer for the strength to live and to love. In the silence that follows, I want to invite you into the spiritual practice that we're engaging in this season after the Epiphany. And it is one that is a prayer, but a prayer using our imagination. So I ask you to close your eyes. And we're going to go from this prayer into a moment of silence. I ask you to close your eyes and to picture Jesus healing people. And then to see him walking towards you, looking with deep compassion and stretching out his hands toward you. You could imagine that Jesus takes both of your hands in his. Feel the warmth, the love, the sense of security, come what may. Now I'm just going to say a Celtic encircling prayer while your eyes are still closed and you're picturing Jesus is taking your hands in his. And you could repeat any of these phrases afterwards in the silence. I place my hands in yours, Lord. I place my will in yours, Lord. I place my days in yours, Lord. I place my thoughts in yours, Lord. I place my heart in yours, Lord.